I'll be reading Matthew 15, 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and your daughter is healed from that very hour."
When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins."
I will be reading Luke 17, 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but who to that person through whom they come, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied round his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'"
I'll be reading from Luke 17. John 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when his disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I have seen the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with him. Through the door were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because of you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed." I'll also be reading from Galatians 3. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed and crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or believing what you have heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really were not for nothing, does God give your Spirit and work miracles among you because of you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and he was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through him. So those who have faith are blessed among with Abraham, the man of faith, who all rely on observing the law and under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will not live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He has redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
As we read through these passages, we notice that there's one thing that's always in common, and that's all these passages talk about faith. Now, what is faith? Well, faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And then there's another definition that I thought was specifically towards Christians. It says, a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. When we think about faith, the first verse that comes to everybody's head, you know, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. James 1:6 says, the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. John 20, which we just read, Thomas was not with the disciples whenever Jesus shows himself to them first. And the disciples go and tell Thomas. They're excited about it. Thomas doesn't believe. He says that he'll have to touch Jesus' hand where the nails have been placed and see him to believe. So Jesus shows himself to him, and as soon as he shows himself to him, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and still believe." Though we cannot see God, we still believe in him. And through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have a hope of God in heaven one day for eternity through that sacrifice. And we have to, though we cannot see him, we have faith in him because of the things that we know. So if we have faith, we will one day have a hope of eternal life with God.